Hi, friends.
Hi, friends.
We're back. It's episode 69 of the Brunch and Judge. Oh, come on. We are all 12-year-old boys, every single one of us, deep down inside.
Funny. I think it was a TikTok or something, or a reel I saw, and it was like when you're a math teacher and this is the answer, and it was like a guy and he's like working through this math problem and the answer was, and he starts to write down 69 and then he's like, no, it starts to cover it up and it like shows classroom people and they're all like, ah, you know, like middle schoolers, because you know.
No, yes, absolutely. I actually vividly remember being in middle school. I think it was sixth grade. And it had to be math, obviously. What else would it be? But it was one of those things where it was like a crossword puzzle, but each thing was a math problem. So your answers would
Right.
be sort of a way to make sure you're doing it right, I guess, kind of. But one of them, the answers was 666. And I swear, like at least 30% of the class went up and said, I can't write this down. And the teacher's like, fine, then don't, whatever.
It's
My
like
God.
it's against my morals.
Oh, you can't write this number down. It's a sin. Oh, hey, we're your hosts. I'm
Yes.
April.
And I'm Claire.
And this week on the Brunch and Judge, we are doing one of my personal favorite topics, spooky, spooky.
Spooky, spooky. And I'm just going to say this now, trigger warning, mine deals with suicide slash unaliving yourself. So,
Ooh.
trigger warning. So if you
Triggers.
don't want to hear mine, skip it,
It's fair.
please.
Mine has no triggers, none at all, unless spooky, spooky things trigger you, at which point don't listen to this episode.
Mine is literally about a suicide forest in Japan. So,
Oh,
all
I
the
saw that
triggers.
movie.
Right.
Right. But before we get to those stories, Claire, what are you judging this week?
Genetics, specifically my own. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. I want to. Ah! Anyway, no. Okay. As you all know, I've talked about it. If you're new, whatever. I've been going on a weight loss journey. Anyway, my genetics suck. I've lost 30 pounds. And now all of a sudden it's just like, oh, I'm not.
Congratulations, by the
And
way.
yes, I know. And now all of a sudden it's like the last like 3 weeks, I've not gone anywhere. It's like, oh, I lost 30 pounds and now my body's like, fuck you. I'm not gonna lose anymore.
Okay,
And the
we let
only
you lose
thing,
some, but
yes.
like, I'm sorry, you're going too far now. Let us stop you because
Right.
we know famine is coming and you're going to regret this choice.
Right.
Okay?
And literally the only thing that has changed is I started working out.
What
Now
if?
explain that to me.
What if you stop working out and see what happens?
The thing is, here's the thing. Like, I was looking up because I've seen people and stuff, like when you lose weight really fast, like I don't want to have like super ridiculous amount, which I know I'm going to because of how big I've gotten. I know I'm going to, and I know eventually, like if I ever hit my goal weight, I would probably have to have some kind of like skin removal surgery
Oh, right.
eventually. But I don't want it to be like ridiculous. So it was like trying to like combat some of that, you know, and part of it was like doing like some kind of weight training. So it was like, okay, I'm back to the weight I was when I was working out, and I know that I can work out at this weight and not die. Okay.
It's
Like I can,
key. That's
because
very key.
this is the weight I was at when I attempted to do that half marathon. You know, this is the weight I was at when I, you know, doing all the workout stuff. So I know that I can at this weight. It's not like I'm too heavy to do these workouts. I can do it. So I was like, I'm gonna, and I've only been doing it for like 2 weeks. Okay. This finished my second week of doing this. And it's just aggravating because it's like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Because it's not even like I'm lifting like heavy weights. Because I told myself when I started, I'm like, you're almost 40 now. Don't, we're not gonna go like bananas and like start lifting like 25-pound weights when you're doing these squats, because you know I don't want to like not be able to walk for 2 weeks
I
and
just
sit on the toilet when I go pee.
would like
Like,
to put in here to all of you listeners. I also, because I know you're all going, fuck what? I also don't lift weights when I am doing any kind of exercise. So like, please know that when Claire says, I don't want to lift big heavy weights, and then she then repeat, what is it, 8 pounds? Is that what she decided? Is that where you are?
I did eight.
Yes, no, I know you're all screaming right now, all of you, because you're like, what? I have like 1 pound weights, and I'm over here going like, I don't pick up nothing because gravity's hard enough. So you're fine. You're fine. She is a demon, and she is awesome.
I mean, you all got to understand, back when I was in high school and stuff, you know, I played basketball. We're talking like I could leg press over 500 pounds. Like I could lift, when I leg pressed, I could do the entire thing of weights in the baseball weight room when we did conditioning. Like, this is what I, you know, I my legs are strong. I
Claire,
have strong legs. Yes.
any chance that you are related to one of the superheroes? Because,
I don't know.
like,
I
that
don't know.
feels like a thing that can't possibly be true. 500
It is
pounds?
true.
Like, holy hell, Batman. Like, I mean,
I mean, but whatever the
if
entire
someone asked
weight.
me, well, if someone had asked me, what's the most you think a person could, whatever, I'd be like maybe 250?
It was like when we would go do like conditioning and stuff, like they're like, oh, I think you can do more. And so they kept like putting more and more and more on like the leg press until finally it was like the entire thing
Like, this is all we have.
on the leg press machine, and I could still do it. And it was like, okay, like we can't add any more weight to this. This is the entire thing on the leg press machine, and I could do it all. Like, this is what, you know, my legs are strong, upper body not so much. Okay, guys, I'm
Well,
just
because if
like, yeah,
you are
no.
strong upper body strength, people expect you to help them move. So don't do that.
Yeah, right. So it's like, especially like legs and stuff, I was like, but it's like when I stop working out and then I start again, I get really sore. And I've done this many, many times, and then I regret it because then I'm sore for like 2 weeks. So this time I'm like, no, we're not gonna do something crazy. We're just gonna do light stuff, nothing bananas, you know. So yeah, I was a little sore. There was resi I was sore, but it wasn't like, oh, I can't sit on the toilet sore, because I've been there where
Right.
it's like you go to sit down,
You're
you're like, oh my God, this is
you're
awful.
like everything hurts. Yeah,
Yes, you're
I've
like,
been
oh my
there.
God. And you're like, I can't even like put my bra on. This is awful because I can't move my arms. Yeah. So I was, you know, I'm like, no, we're, like I said, I'm almost 40. We're not going to do this. I'm like, and I'm going to take it easy because it's been over 2 years really since I've done any kind of workout. So I was like, we're going to start this, try to get back into some kind of like trying to move again, because I know I need cardio in my life. I really do.
Don't we all?
Build my lungs back up. So I'm doing these workouts. They're only like 30, 35 minutes. Nothing crazy. They're kind of circuity, I guess. Like you go back and forth from doing like one day, like Monday is like leg day. So you go back from doing like weights with your legs and you do like a little spurt of cardio. You do that back and forth for 30 minutes. And then like Tuesday is like a core thing. So you do core stuff and then some cardio stuff and do that back and forth. And then like arm day. And then you have a core day. And then Friday was like full body. So it's like a leg move with an arm move and then some cardio stuff. So it's all very circuit oriented kind of thing. But then it's like I start this bullshit and then it's like, oh no, you're not gonna lose any weight. In fact, I'm gonna make you put on 2 pounds. Fuck you. Like,
And they're gonna, and it's gonna
I'm
be, your
just like,
body's like, this is, just so you know, this is muscle, but it's
and I
weight.
hate that. I hate that. I hate that. And everybody's like,
Maybe
this year, ugh,
you need to
I'm
go down to
aggravated.
those 1 pound weights, Claire.
I don't have 1 pound weights. I can't even find my, I wanted to use 5 pound weights on my arms because I knew doing those chest presses. I'm like, 8 pounds is probably too much for me. I couldn't find, I don't know where my 5 pound weights are. I can't find them. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to use 8 pound weights and I'm going to regret this. And boy, howdy, did I. I was like, oh my God, my chest. Oh, geez. Anyway, I'm just aggravated. I'm judging myself and I'm aggravated.
You're not really judging yourself. You're judging the life choices of all of the people who came before that led to this point where you're like, I just want to be able to move my body and that
Right.
help it work better and lose weight. That's not a big ask. It's not a big
Right.
ask.
Yeah. Why can't I just work out and lose weight? Why do I have to work out and gain 2 pounds? Why? This happens to me every single time.
It
Like every
does. I
time.
remember.
It does it not? I
Yeah,
work
every
out.
time.
Does it? I mean, you've been there.
Because you'll be
You've
like, I'm losing weight, I'm losing weight, I'm doing the things. And you're like, I'm working out a little bit more, and now I'm gaining weight. And you're like, the
Yeah.
fuck is this?
Yep, you've been there for me every single time. And then it's like, and then my body's like, oh, so I'm gonna make you gain 5 pounds and then you're just gonna stop.
Yep.
And then my body's like, you're not losing anything else ever again.
It's like,
You're gonna
sorry,
stop right here
I gave
and I'm
you some
done.
leeway. You're going too far. So I had to stop
Yep.
that. Because
Yep.
what? There's a famine just around the corner, damn it. You're gonna be happy that
Yeah. So I'm just like, why?
did
I'm just aggravated. That's where
that.
I'm at. I'm frustrated
Completely
and I'm angry.
understandable. It's shitty.
I'm just like, why? Why can't I have a better metabolism? And just like, you know, all these other people are like, oh my God, I've done this like boot camp and did all this shit. And then I've lost like 30 pounds.
I love how
And
people
me,
are
it's
like, I
like,
started walking 10 minutes a day and I lost 50
right.
pounds. You're like, the hell? How'd you do that?
Right. And me, it's like, nope, my body's like, fuck you.
Yeah, it's like, nope, you don't get to have nice things. Sorry.
Nope. Negative. And I'm like, great. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's my judge. Like, what
An
the hell?
excellent judge.
What the hell, genetics?
Fuck 'em.
I know, I hate it. Anyway, that's my judge.
A
It's
great
aggravating.
touch.
It's aggravating. I hate it. I hate it so much. Anyway, so what is your judge?
Well, Claire, I read a story this week and it made me think of you.
Oh,
And our
okay.
very first episode. Claire, do you remember what our first episode was?
Sharks.
And Claire, in that episode, you
Yes.
taught me that sharks get a bad rap and that, in fact, dolphins and orcas are actually the biggest dicks of the sea.
Yes,
And
they
so
are.
I've held on to that because it's
Oh,
hilarious.
you have?
And it's a piece of knowledge, a little nugget I like to give people when they have something like, oh, I just love dolphins. I'm like, did you know?
Right.
Well, you may not know, but in the last, I think it's been like month, 6 weeks, some killer whales, some orcas in Spain have been sinking yachts.
What?
Yes. So,
Like just intentionally, like, oh,
yes,
we're gonna be assholes?
intentionally
Ah!
sinking yachts. So they have
I
sunk
told you
three.
so.
They have
I
sunk
told you so.
three in the last 6 weeks. And what I love so much about it is that they're very intentional. They go and they like take out the rudder. They either like bite it or break it or like bend it so that it doesn't work anymore. And then they start like ramming into the boat until it sinks.
They have like a specific order in which they do
They do.
things.
So
That's amazing.
what's super
That is
fascinating
amazing.
is that they have decided that this is learned behavior they've learned from other orcas. And so it's not
Yes.
like just this small group of orcas doing it. They're like learning from each other. So like lots of orcas are participating at this point. And they think it all stems from one female orca that they have named White Gladys. I don't know.
White Gladys.
I don't know. I kind of want to be like, all right.
She is the Moby Dick of orcas, man. I'm
She is. She is. So they suspect that she had some kind of like traumatic experience that caused her pain. Either maybe a boat hit her,
Right.
or she got caught in like illegal fishing nets or something. And so she ended up attacking a boat. And I think what I understand is that she had two baby whales with her. And
Okay.
so the baby whales were like battering the rudder and she was ramming into the ship. And so like they were, because they watched her and then they were taking part and they started ramming. And so like not a
Ah.
ship that necessarily hit her or impacted her, who knows, but like trauma response, PTSD coming
Yes.
through. Oh God, it's another fucking one of those things. I got to take this thing out. And so then the other ones were watching and now they're doing it and it's a whole big thing and you can't go sailing over there right now because there's not a less than 0%
Because
chance.
the orcas will come after you.
I mean, I think they said, the odds are like 1 out of 100, but I'm like that's a lot. It's like, I mean, you're
Still.
probably not going to get attacked by killer whales, but you might be.
Right.
And I'm dying over it. One, because I'm like, you go, White Gladys. You fucking
Right.
put those things where, you know, you teach those boats. They don't get to do whatever they want. Like, you're in
Exactly.
my water. And I think it's hilarious that like the other whales are learning and doing it too. It's,
It's
I don't,
not just her that's like
and like what she did was a trauma response, but like the rest of them, I think is just a fun thing to do. And one scientist said, you know, it could just be a fad in the way that like our generations have fads. If it's a fad right now where they're just like, hey, let's go sink a boat. Woo.
They're gangster orcas. I like it. I'm here for
But
this.
I also love that it seems to be very specific to yachts, and I'm like, yes, you go fucking sink those
So
yachts.
that makes me wonder, like, was this a yacht that like
I that
hit?
yeah,
Yeah.
that's probably the assumption.
Nice.
But hilarious. Love knowing that whales are such social creatures that they learn from each other and become violent vigilantes, just
I'm here for this
taking down the
story.
boats. Oh, it's magic. It's magic. I'm over here being like, me too, White Gladys. You take them
Yes.
out.
Yes.
But also, they're all being dicks. Like it's so integral to what I understand orcas really are.
Right.
Giant assholes. And they're like,
So it
ah.
started out as like a vigilante kind of
Right.
thing, and now it has turned into like,
Everybody's doing it. Woo, let's go
yes.
take out a boat. I'm bored, guys. What do
Yes.
you want to do today? Oh, let's take out a boat. And they do it in the same way. So like they take out the rudder and then they ram into the yacht until it cracks the
The
whatever starts
hull
to
or
sink.
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy fuck.
That's amazing. Yes.
I mean, I don't want to
I
be
love
on that
it.
boat when it happens. That sounds like an
No,
absolute nightmare,
no.
but all the way over here, because I'm nowhere near there, I think it's hilarious.
Right.
But that
Yes.
reminds me, Jason and Becky and two of the kids are going on a cruise in the Mediterranean, and they're starting off in Spain. So I should probably warn them and be
Oh,
like, oh, hey, by the way,
hey, yes,
that if
be
they
on the
all get
lookout.
together, they may come and try and take out your cruise ship. I don't know. Maybe they hate cruise ships too.
Be on the lookout, keep your eyes open.
Bolo.
Yes,
Looks like Free Willy
stay
is
away.
not a nice whale. Not gonna come and do tricks for you. Gonna take your boat down.
Right.
Hilarious. Hilarious. I'm dying over it. But so that's my judge. Power to the whales.
I love it.
As they take out yachts because White Gladys started a trend, and I mean, you gotta be like White Gladys. What can I say?
Yes. That's amazing.
Thank
Love
you.
that.
My nose is running like crazy.
Is the season.
Well, I woke up today. I have been super good. I've been taking Flonase every day.
Yes.
The two squirt sheets sign, blah, blah, blah. I've also been taking a Zyrtec because my ear started to do that thing where it was getting all closed up and
Oh,
ringing, and I'm like, I can't do that
yeah.
again. It made me insane.
No, it's
So, like,
awful.
I take that every day. And then most nights, I end up taking a Benadryl. Like, I'm trying to just not be off. But I
Right.
woke up this morning, and I'm like, I'm joking. So, on to our topic of the day.
Yes.
Spooky, spooky. For my story today, I'm going to do the story of the Tallman House.
The Tallman House.
It's not one that I had ever heard of,
I started to say,
actually.
when you told me, I was like, I don't think I know this story. And
And
I
the,
didn't like
yeah.
Google it because I was like, I want to hear what you have to say. So.
And the only reason I came across it was because when I did my Unsolved Mystery story, this was also an episode of Unsolved Mysteries that came up as like one of the big ones or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So I got my information from Unsolved Mysteries, OG
Yay.
with Robert Stack,
Love it.
WisconsinFrights.com, the Milwaukee Sentinel, and Ranker. So this all takes place in a small town called Hurricane, Wisconsin. It's a tiny town of about 3,600 people, which, by the way, is larger than the town I'm still living in. So no judgment here. But it was a small, quiet family town, you know, very rural Wisconsin. And it's 1986, and the Tallman family move into a house. Some sources say around April the 13th of 1986. And so they move in. They are a family of five. We have, I wrote their names down somewhere else because I'm stupid. La, la, la. Do, 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 do. So the, let's see. Alan and Debbie Tallman have moved in with their three children. And we don't get to know their kids' real names, but in the show, the son is named Danny. I don't know.
Okay. But their names are actual Alan and
Debbie. I assume so.
Okay.
I don't really know. But we'll go with yes, Alan and Debbie.
Okay.
So this family of five move into the house, and it's totally fine. Everybody's fine. No big deal. They're settling in, having a good time. They, in May of 1987, go to a secondhand shop where they find a bunk bed. And they're like, oh, this will be really great. They have their son is the oldest, but then they have two daughters. So the two daughters will be sharing a room. The youngest is two-ish, so she's just at that age of moving into, like, the bed, having her own bed, gotcha. And being in a room, mm-hmm. blah, blah. So they see a set of bunk beds, like, oh, here we go. This is great. We'll grab this. And in the beginning, they had the bunk beds in the basement because they hadn't transitioned the room yet to be for both of them.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And even from the moment that the bed was brought into the house, things started getting weird.
Oh, no. Haunted pieces of furniture.
No. And a bunk bed. Like, the hell?
Like, what?
What is it even about? I don't know. But so, all three kids had always been very healthy kids, never really got sick. But as soon as the bunk beds entered the house, they all three kept being sick. She was having to take them to the doctor all the time, often all three kids at once. It was really unusual. But, you know, she didn't think about it at the time because, I mean, you know,
right,
can get sick. It's just, it was weird. It was out of the norm enough that she made note of, man, my kids are keep just being sick.
But also, unknown. I don't know that you would like attribute that right. to, oh, we brought this bunk yeah. bed in and now my children stay sick.
I assume it's like looking back, she was like, oh man, that's right. That's right when Maybe. The kids all got sick and they just kept right. being sick and it was weird, you know.
Right.
But then eventually the bed was moved upstairs into the girls' bedroom. And that very first night, their son Danny, who slept in the room next door, was getting ready to go to bed. He was laying in his bed when he noticed that the old radio that had belonged to his parents but was now in his room, the tuner knob turning by itself.
Ew.
And so, like, the little indicator tuner line was just bloom, bloom.
Ew.
And it bothered him, as it should.
Yes.
And so he goes, to tell his parents, and they're like, dude, if you can't just, like, be responsible enough to have a radio in your room, we're just going to take it out. Because they just were like, he's making this up. He's just...
Right, yeah.
Because, you know, parents, they're like, that's not real. But whatever. And so he was just like, okay, fine, don't believe me. But then, soon after that, in the room with the bunk bed, where the sisters slept, the youngest, who's just over two, starts talking about a red-eyed witch that hides behind the door.
What?
And that sometimes there'd just be fire in the room. And they were like, okay, that's weird, but childhood, man, you know, monsters, things in the closet.
Kids are weird. Yeah.
You know, they paid really no heed to it. They didn't really talk about it. Like, it was just like she would tell them about it and they'd be like, oh, you know, no big deal. It's fine.
Right, yeah.
But Danny did not know that she was saying this stuff. They hadn't told Danny, because why would you tell anyone?
Right.
And then they got a little bit more concerned because soon Danny also started mentioning that he was seeing a red-eyed witch in his room and she was breathing fire.
What?
And they were like,
especially since he's older and
yeah,
it's like,
he's
yeah,
not a little kid.
Yeah.
So they were like, well, that's disconcerting. But again, you blow it off
yes.
thinking, oh, well, maybe little sister mentioned it and,
right,
you know, and it got in his head. Who knows? But then good old Alan, dad, finally had an unsettling experience. He was in the basement painting the walls, as you do, when his wife called him upstairs saying lunch was ready. So he's like, okay, well, he decides that he's in the middle of painting. So he just sets his paintbrush on like the tray, like on the edge of the tray, like you do.
Yes.
That long rectangular tray thing. He sets it on the edge, runs upstairs for like 10 minutes, quick bite of lunch, and then comes back downstairs. And in the time that he was gone, the paintbrush is now in the gallon paint of the gallon of paint, and the handle is in the paint. And it was like on the other side of the table. He's like, no one
like,
came
he didn't
down
leave it.
here.
Like, yeah.
I put it nowhere near there. And he
right.
was unsettled enough with everything else that they called their pastor.
Oh boy.
So their pastor comes in and he's like, I feel an evil presence in this house.
Oh boy, here we go.
And so as it does, you know, I'm sure he prayed with them or for them or whatever.
Right.
And so, you know, that doesn't go over well. So of course, as soon as that happened, things got worse.
Right.
So after the pastor's visit, the Tillmans start being tormented by whatever this presence is. Doors would bang open and shut. They would have strange voices that would call out in the house. It's not them. And they're like, what? Whose voice is this? They kept seeing the ghostly visions, the witches, like all of them were seeing it at this point, not just the kids. A week before Christmas, Danny, their son, became so scared that he begged for them to leave. He's like, we can't be here. Like, he is so done. So, of course, when your kids are freaking out and you don't know what to do, you as a father do the dumbest thing you possibly can. That is what Alan does. He does the very typical thing where he just yells into the house, if you want to fight someone, fight me, which
oh,
we all know
God.
Is not a good choice. Okay. Don't invite them to
no.
come at you because they're
don't
gonna
threaten. Don't threaten them. Don't. Yeah.
No. It's like you've made a lot of bad choices here.
Right.
So January 7th, 1988, 3 weeks had passed from Alan's stupid declaration. Let's be real.
Yes.
Stupid, stupid. And so one night he comes home from work, and after he gets inside the house, he hears this like eerie howling sound that's coming from, it sounds like it's coming from the garage. And so he goes back outside. He has his lunch pail in his hand. So he sets his lunch pail down by the door, goes back outside to kind of investigate. And while he's out there, he swears that there's a voice that's howling saying, come here. And so he goes around the back of the garage to see in the house to see if someone's back there. He's like, is someone here?
Yeah.
And there's no one there, of course. And so he walks back to the front and he sees that his garage is on fire, like orange light, fire flames everywhere. And so,
like, just out of nowhere,
like,
oh
fully,
my God,
like fully engulfed in fire flames. And so
wow.
He goes inside to get a fire extinguisher, and when he comes back out, there's no fire.
Wait, okay, so the fire's gone?
Just gone.
What?
There's no,
that's
no
bananas.
Visible signs of any fire. The garage door is completely undamaged. Like, he's looking around like, the fuck is happening? Because he's like, it was
yes.
on fire. Like,
yes.
A very distinct look.
Like, it was burning.
Everything was flame, flame, fire. And it's just not. So he's shook. Let's be real, he's shook.
As he should be.
As he should be. He's just like, that was on fire. I saw it on fire and now it's not on fire. And you're like, okay, right. I'm losing it. I'm losing it. So he goes back inside, still is like overwhelmed by what happened. And he reaches to get his lunch pail that he has set down and he has it in his hand, like, you know, he's picking it up. And then all of a sudden, something rips it from his hands and throws it across the room. And he's like, the fuck? I can't even be here anymore. This is insane.
That's what you get for asking it to come after you. I mean, I'm just saying. That's like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Right? Right? Like, don't.
Because now
don't
it's coming after you.
Yeah, it's like, you want me to fight you? All right.
This is what you asked for.
You wanted it. I'm bringing it. That's basically how it is.
She basically said, come at me, bro. So now I'm coming at you, bro.
Right? Come at me, bro.
That
is what it is. It's true. And in every story, whether it's fictional or real,
right,
in which this happens, you know, where they're like, you don't leave them alone, take me or whatever,
right,
it's always like, bad. It always gets way worse. So don't do that. Don't do that. Just don't do that. So during this time, he has Daddy Alan, which I love, his name's Alan, by the way. I'm like, that's Joe. Daddy Alan has been sleeping in the floor of his daughter's room because they're
just
terrified
to make sure.
To go to sleep and to be alone or whatever. So he's been sleeping in there with them. And soon after the garage lunch pail disaster, he is sleeping in the floor when all of a sudden a fog just appears all around him in the room.
With this, what?
And a voice comes out of the fog saying, "You're dead."
No. Oh no.
So I mean, he very correctly freaked the shit out. Totally freaked him out. Was really, really upset about it. His wife Debbie ends up calling their pastor back because of everything that had happened. He again was of like absolute no help.
Because you know that went so well the first time.
The pastor
that did so much.
Told them that he believed that they were victims of the devil.
Because it's always Satan. Yes.
I love how Satan chooses just like innocuous people and is like, you. It's you. I'm going to torment you with like really bizarre shit. But you know, I'm not going to send a lesser demon. It's only the devil himself.
Right.
Teach their own.
I'm not gonna send the lesser demon. This is only a job for me.
Right? And it's like this random family of five in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin. You're like, oh, okay. I mean, I might have chosen like the Pope or something, but you do you.
This deserves the best.
But he was, the pastor was absolutely certain that there was a demonic presence in their home. And was convinced that he didn't find anything that suggested that they were fabricating these incidents. Like, you know. But it also wasn't just the family, because like mostly it was just the family that experienced these things. But a few days after the fog episode, Alan had to work late and asked one of his relatives, it does not specify which one, to come and watch the girls because he couldn't leave them alone in the house. They needed someone with them all the time.
Right.
And this particular relative was like a total skeptic, thought the family was bonkers. Until that night when that same horrible figure, the witch with the red eyes, whatever it is that everyone was saying, the relative saw it and he screamed and he ran away.
Oh, snap.
And so, Debbie and the relative end up packing all the kids up and they got out of the house that night. They're like, we're out. Because the relative was like, oh my God, it's real. And they're like, yeah.
This is the last straw. We're done.
So they leave the house. 2 weeks after they have left the house, They destroy the bunk beds, like set them on fire, which is the correct thing to do. You take it out, you burn it, you walk away.
Right.
And even though things kind of stopped, they were like, we're not touching that house. So
Right.
they moved out for forever. And they actually left town. They were like, totally out. We don't
They're
want
like,
any of
we're not
this.
chancing this at all.
No, thank you. They went to a new town and got a new house. And no, they've had no paranormal experiences since.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
So that all happened January, February. By April of 1988, another family moved into the Tallman house. And they had zero haunting experiences.
So
So,
it was the bunk beds.
was it the bunk beds? I mean, yes, probably.
Yes.
Such a
Yeah.
weird, random thing. So, like, I guess ultimately the moral of the story is don't buy furniture from secondhand stores because it may be haunted or possessed by Satan himself. No lesser demons.
Nope. Only a job for Satan.
So this episode, it was a pretty cool episode. It was a story that featured on the first Halloween episode of Unsolved Mysteries.
Ooh.
The producers were looking for spooky stories for the show and stumbled across this one because it had made the newspapers because, you know,
Yeah.
haunted house. So it was on the same episode as the Queen Mary. I think maybe the Mary Celeste was on it as well. It's a very
Okay.
spooky filled episode. The Tallmans were beset by unwanted attention once their story came out, like even before Unsolved Mysteries. They did not want anything to do with it. They even turned down a very lucrative tabloid offer to talk about their experiences because they didn't want to make money off of their children's misfortune. They were like, this is
Right. I mean,
bad.
I'm so, I mean, I get them not wanting to like really
Yeah,
name their
well,
children
and to
either,
me,
so.
that's what lends a little bit more credibility to the story is that they didn't really want this. They didn't want people to
Right.
know. They didn't want the notoriety. They didn't want to benefit from it.
Yeah.
They only agreed to share their story with Unsolved Mysteries on three conditions. One, their faces were censored during the interview, so you can't see. They're like in the dark. Yeah. You
Okay.
know? Their children's names were protected with an alias, and all of the reenactments were done by actors and not the family, because they would try and use pe real people in the situation if possible.
Right.
And even after all of the years of Unsolved Mysteries and all of the terrifying stories that have crossed the way of Unsolved Mysteries, it is still considered one of the most frightening and well-known paranormal cases of the series. It's like one of their top tens. And when you read it, it's like, oh my
Nice.
God.
Right.
Ugh. And
Right.
then you have Robert Stack standing in the fog on the street, and he's
In
telling
his
you about it, and you're like, oh my
trench
God.
coat.
And so, in theory, they filmed it in the house that it happened, which is horrifying.
Right. You're like, no, why are you here?
And I'm like, okay. We're getting ready to move, or and we're gonna have to buy some new furniture after we move. And I'm like, we can't buy used furniture now because obviously it's haunted by the devil.
Never ever buy used furniture now.
And
Nope.
like, the thing that I don't get and that I find the most disconcerting is that why is a red-eyed witch who likes to breathe fire connected to bunk beds?
Right? That's me, yeah.
I don't understand.
Hmm.
Like, you know, an old washstand or a dresser or something that maybe she herself could have owned if she had been a person, but like bunk beds? Weird.
Unless the bunk beds were used in like some kind of,
They were Ouija boarding on the bunk bed.
or if it was like the bunk beds were used in some kind of like, I don't know,
Ooh,
or orphanage.
a dual orphanage. I like that. Or maybe it was like, because I mean, this is the 80s, So satanic panic is pretty strong. So what if they were used for like dual children sacrifices, like top and bottom, you know?
Or what if they were like used in some kind of like, I don't know, mental institution or...
Yeah, a place to lock up children who are actually the devil.
Something like that, yeah.
Damien was the last sleeper of the bunk bed or whatever.
Who knows? Yeah, something like that.
But it's such a bizarre story.
It is bizarre.
And like, there's just... It's bunk beds. It's like, bunk beds ruined an entire family for like... They didn't even make it a year. I mean, it was made of basically January.
That's crazy.
So, oy, there you have it. That is my story for Spooky Spooky.
That is Spooky Spooky. Dang. Woo!
It makes me like, a little hesitant of all of the antique furniture in my parents' house. And I'm like, what demon is
right? You're like, this? I don't know if I want this anymore.
And I'm like, I need to have it cleansed before I can take it, because, like, no.
April's
no
like,
demons.
We need to sage the shit out of everything.
Because although I don't think I rank on the list of people in the world that Satan has time to torment, interested in tormenting, I can't say that I'm not on the list, because apparently the Tallmans were, and they seem pretty generic, so I don't know.
Right.
Not taking any risks.
Right. Shoo, man. Well, that was excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Claire, what story have you brought us for Spooky Spooky?
I'm going to be talking about the Aokigahara Forest in Japan.
That place is terrifying. I watched, obviously, the terrible horror movie, but also, like, I've read about it or seen, like, weird travel shows on it, but it is spooky spooky. Tell us more.
Yes, the Aokigahara. Oh, I got my sources from Wikipedia, always. New York Times, Mental Floss, All Is Interesting, and BBC. The Aokigahara Forest translates to Blue Tree Meadows, which I don't know.
Didn't know that. Okay.
It's also known as the Sea of Trees.
That makes more sense.
Yes. It's located on the northwestern flank of Mount Fuji on the island of Honshu in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
It's around like 13, 14 square miles
of
forest. It's not terribly
say,
large.
In my mind, I thought it was infinitely more vast than that, but maybe just because it looks like any footage I've seen from inside, I'm like, you're lost forever in here, right?
Right. And it grows out of hardened lava from the last major eruption of Mount Fuji, which happened in 864 CE.
Oh, okay.
Which was a really long time ago, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now it's got paved paths and like walkways for people to walk on through the forest. And it's just some hikers, you know, they like to challenge themselves and go off the path and hike through stuff, because it's just like a dense cluster of trees and the volcanic rock makes it like more challenging to hike through, and the terrain can be rough, so it's a little bit more challenging for hikers.
I'm sorry, just don't go off the path, okay? Just
and I'm gonna get to that. I'm gonna get to that.
Stay on
yes,
the path.
Yes. So the forest has like a really macabre history, obviously. historically, it's known as a place where monks would go to starve themselves to death.
Why?
I don't know. There was no why listed.
They were bored and thought, I'll just end it and starve to death in this forest? Okay. It's weird.
It's also been tied to myths involving a custom called, and I didn't look up the pronunciation of this, Ubasut, I don't know. It's when food would be scarce and the situation for a family would be so desperate that they would take like an elderly family member there and leave them like deep in the forest to die. Typically an elderly woman, like a grandmother or something. because it was just they didn't have enough food for the people in the family.
Well,
So it was
yeah,
like,
but like, so you just leave them to die? Why not just like give them a drink that would kill them or something? They're gonna die either way. Wouldn't you rather?
I know. That's why I'm
It's
like,
just okay. Good luck
but
in
yeah,
the
you would just,
forest, Grandma.
yeah, basically, yeah, you would just take them deep in the forest and leave them.
Like Hansel and Gretel, but
I
gross.
guess it the, like clears their conscience, like, oh, we left you and we don't have to see you
It's not
die.
our fault that you didn't survive in the forest on your own, even though you're blind and can't walk well or whatever.
I guess. In 1960, there was an author whose last name was Matsumoto, who published a novel that became famous. The English version is called Tower of Waves. It's a story about two lovers who go to the Aokigahara Forest to unalive themselves. And so they made that kind of like romanticized suicide. So,
Ew. Hate
yeah.
that.
I know, but the forest itself is a bit just itself without all this like background nonsense is a bit odd and spooky looking because the trees, they say the trees are like really packed in. Because the volcanic rock isn't even and rocky, it also has hundreds of caves that you can
Oh.
like get lost in. And it said because of the porousness of the volcanic rock on the ground, that it kind of like eats the sound out there. So
Oh.
everything can just be really eerily silent.
No.
Yeah.
No, I hate that.
And that there's not really a lot of wildlife to speak of. I mean, there is, but it's not like what you would find in other forests elsewhere. I mean, it's just, there's not a lot. And also to get into some of the, like, I guess, culture of Japan. Japan has an unusually high suicide rate compared to a lot of other developed countries. And part of that is because Japan isn't a Christian nation, so they don't really view suicide as a sin like a lot of us do.
Right.
You know how it goes. And they also culturally have had a long history of honorable suicide, like the samurais would commit seppuku, and even like the kamikaze pilots in World War II, all that, you know, that's part of their cultural history. And in a way, they view suicide as a person taking responsibility for their actions.
I mean, okay, sure, I
I
guess.
it,
I
not, I
can
mean,
follow that logic, I suppose, in their
like, it's not at
cultural.
all how we
No.
view it, obviously. Like, it's a cultural thing. Obviously, not how our culture sees it. But another part of that is, obviously, that mental health care obviously carries the same stigma that it carries, you know,
Everywhere.
elsewhere. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's becoming less stigmatized here,
Right.
but it still has that big stigma over there, and people don't want to reach out for help. And a lot of it is financially related
Right.
over there. And in the 1970s, which is this when they started blaming it on that book that Matsumoto wrote in the 60s, that's where people would start to go to the forest to unalive themselves. And like I said, they started to attribute it to that book. And that every year after that, the numbers started to increase. And
Wow.
in 2003, 105 bodies were found, which was the most ever that they found in one year,
Wow.
which was broke the record from the year before, which was 78, 2002.
I find it bizarre that people were like, oh, only 78 did it. You know what? We can beat that record.
Right. In 2010, it was reported that more than 200 people, something like 254, went to the forest to attempt to unalive themselves, with 54 people actually being successful. And because it is such a popular place for people to do that kind of thing, they hold annual searches to conduct, you know,
to look for the remains.
With police and volunteers and journalists.
That's
to go out.
Horrifying.
To just, like, that's the whole point, is we're just going into the forest to find bodies. And they do have signs everywhere posted in all the interest points going into the forest that are begging people to reevaluate their decisions, like saying stuff like, your life is precious, your parents gave you this life, please think about what you're doing, reach out for help, you know, that kind of thing. Like, they have these signs everywhere going in. And the most common ways that people do unalive themselves is by hanging and drug overdoses. However, because of all this, the forest is said to be haunted.
I mean, fair.
Obviously.
Because it's a lot of people going there with a lot of negative emotions, we'll go with. Overwhelmingly less good emotions.
Yes, definitely. They call them the Uri. Possibly spirits of those who were abandoned by family members during the Ubaste ritual.
I would haunt the shit out of the forest if my family dropped me off there because they're like, well, we don't have enough food and you're old. Bye.
Right. They are said to be vengeful and dedicated to tormenting visitors and luring those who are sad off the paths. There are stories about people hearing screams. There were several that I read. That people would hear a scream and they would leave the path to go find the source of said scream. Some people would find a body.
Ugh.
But the body was obviously
not the source of the scream.
No, because it had been long gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Not and so then it was like, oh, ew, gross, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then other times it's like they would go look for the scream and then they would leave the path and get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And would be lost for hours. Because they say that because the trees are so packed in, they're so dense, that it's just,
you can't,
everything looks the same. And it's really hard to try to find your way back out. Also, because of the volcanic rock bed and the soil, it has a lot of iron in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they say that, and it doesn't happen to everybody, but it can happen. It can disrupt your cell phone service. It can disrupt any kind of GPS devices that you have. It can disrupt regular compasses. So if you're just going walking, you can get lost because it can get you turned around.
Right.
Because stuff, it messes up.
So you're saying
all your instruments.
Take some yarn, tie it to a tree next to the path,
and
then
that's what
you can
people
go.
Do. Well, and that's what people do. They either say people bring string or they bring some kind of tape.
Mm-hmm.
Mark their way. If they don't like bring the string in, like a whole string, they'll like mark their way as they're going in with tape, string, some kind of something. But they say sometimes people, or maybe possibly something else, cut said string, gets rid of the tape, causing people to get lost.
Oh, I hate that so much. Oh my god. It's like,
so there's also that possibility.
So in other words, just don't go off the path. In fact, maybe just don't go visit. Go in a large group if you really want to, but you all stay together and you don't leave the path. If you hear a scream, you're like, I'm going to call and report that after I get back safely to my car away from this forest.
Right. There are also stories of sightings of, like, apparitions floating in the trees.
Ew.
That will also cause people to, like, walk off the path because they're like, what was that? Which is also attributed to, like, the Uri, if whatever it's called. which I'm like, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, they want to torment people, which, I mean, I'd be vengeful too if somebody took me and left me in the forest to die just because I'm like, I'm sorry, we don't have enough food for you.
Although I may also be vengeful if I'm a monk who went in there to starve to death, basically, and then I discovered that everything I'd been told was a lie and I'm just stuck in this godforsaken forest forever.
Yes.
Might as well have some company.
Right.
Mm.
But anyway, yeah, so they say the forest is haunted. It's like one of those.
Yeah.
It's like, because of all the negativity that is brought upon. But anyway, the forest has been, like you said, it was the basis of the movie The Forest
Right.
that starred Natalie Dormer. And it was also featured in the movie The Black Sea of Trees, which starred Matthew McConaughey.
Oh.
So it has been in pop culture stuff too. So that is my story on Spooky Spooky because of a suicide forest in Japan.
Why is it
Where
that
people
trees are
go.
scary? Like,
I know. Like, you wouldn't think, like, oh.
I mean, I...
it's nature. Why does nature have to be scary?
I am very excited because the area to which we are hoping to move to has, like, a really nice bike path that goes through a nice state park, and there's lots of lovely trees, and I am stupid excited because New England fall is calling for me and I can't wait.
Yes.
But like when I have gone hiking in my life, I go on a path, on a trail. I don't go beyond that because it's scary.
Right.
And sometimes on the path, I'm like, what was that?
Right, right.
What was that? You know, so, ah. But I also love trees. It's so complicated.
They also said that there's like an uptick of suicides during March because that's the end of the fiscal year for Japan.
Oh, right.
And
That
so
makes
that's
sense.
when, yeah. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So that was another thing that I read in that BBC article. It was a BBC article that talked about like the culture suicide stuff with Japan. That the number one was South Korea, but still that Japan was pretty high up there. And I was like, that's interesting. That their suicide rate is 3 times higher than the United Kingdom.
Oh. How does it compare for us? Does it say?
It
I
didn't
guess
say
not,
that.
because it's the BBC and they don't give a shit
Yeah,
about
it
us,
didn't
but.
say in that. It didn't say in that article. Yeah.
Wow.
But still, it was just like for them, which I know that they've got a, I'm not sure what their population is, but still, it was like for them being a teeny tiny country like that, it was like.
I feel like this may be a lie, just letting you know, because it's been a long time. There is a TV show called Dark Tourist. I think I saw it on this. It could have been another travel something, but where they went to the suicide forest and like he went with a local police person who goes in, you know, it's part of the whole, you know, they go in and they look or whatever. And like they went in and they found in the episode, they found remains. I don't remember if they showed it to us. I hope they didn't because that's creepy. But like the number of missing people pictures at the like trailhead, it was just really disconcerting.
Well, and that, yes, that too. I mean, because there are people who do not, and that's another thing. They say if anybody comes in with camping gear, they always stop them because
Yeah.
usually people who come in with camping gear are not there to camp
Right. They're
because
there
it's
to.
like they're, yes. And it's usually they're not even really necessarily there to actually unalive themselves necessarily, but they're like on the cusp.
Right.
If they're still like thinking it forward, so thinking it through, I guess. So they always get stopped to like have somebody talk to them,
yeah.
you know, and like maybe try to talk them out of it. But yeah, just the number of people who go in and I mean, not just accidentally get lost and can't find their way back out because it is. I mean, that's what they say. Do like, unless you were like super duper experienced, it's like, do not go off the path. Stay on the path.
But also,
And
even
there are
if you are
actually,
super duper experienced, stay on the path.
And even like, there are certain like perimeters like off the path. Like, it's not one of those things like the second you step off the path, you're going to disappear. But it's
Right.
like so far off the path, they have like ropes and like chains and stuff set up that like warning you, like, please don't go past this point.
Yeah. It's like,
Because
this
like,
is as
you'll be
far as you
like,
need to
yeah,
go.
yeah, that
Please
kind
turn
of thing.
around now. Go
And I
back
think
to the
they
past.
said, was it like 2016? I can't remember the year. There was some kind of YouTuber who like went out. I think his name was Logan Paul, who went out and actually stumbled upon a dead body and was filming the whole thing, showed this poor person's entire body, face.
Yeah, that's
video the whole okay. thing of him calling the cops to come out there, but it was just how he like made light of the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
He was laughing at it and was making fun of it, and it was, I mean, and this poor person obviously went through some stuff if they
mm-hmm.
unalive themselves. Like, that is nothing to make light of. And no. then he posts the whole thing on YouTube. Which, I mean, then he immediately got reamed, as Good. He should have.
Good. I'm glad when people are yeah. like, dude, you're disgusting. This is not okay.
Absolutely. And everybody was like, this is gross. Take, you know, and he did eventually take it down. And he was like, I was just trying to bring, like, some awareness to suicide. It's like, no.
No, you weren't.
No, you weren't.
You were trying to Absolutely shock not. People for views, is all.
Right. Because you didn't, like, blur out the body or blur out the person's face. Like, and you were laughing.
Yeah.
Making light and making fun of the whole situation. You know, no, you weren't. That's gross. Stop it.
Yes.
You know, that happened. Yes. And so, which I'm glad he took it down. I'm glad people like shamed him enough that he yeah. did do that. Because that was just like, that's gross, man. Like, no. Like, you should have stopped filming, number one. I mean,
yes.
Like, why even minimum. Continue? Like, quit. You know, just stop it. But anyway, so, but yeah, people, I mean, there are people who go there and who do legit get lost. Like, mm-hmm. not everybody just goes there to die. So, it's
right,
just,
right.
Yeah. So, but there are people who do go there to do that. Because, I mean, it's one of those places is, I guess it's just like, people go here to do this. I'm going to do it too. But it's one of those things that when people do walk off the path, if they do walk off far enough and they don't get lost, it's one of those things where it's like they talk about how the forest floor is just kind of littered with personal effects from people who have gone in, like shoes, briefcases, clothes,
yeah.
you know, some cell phones. They'll stumble upon those things, you know, and some is like really degraded remains, like just bones, that kind of stuff. So it's not a happy place to go.
No, it is not.
I mean, part of me wants to go there just to stay on the path, not
right,
walk
right,
off.
Right,
not
right.
walk off the path, you know.
I mean, it's beautiful, I'm sure, with Mount Fuji there. I mean,
right,
in what I remember seeing, I remember thinking, wow, that's really beautiful, don't go off
right.
the path.
Yes. But it is. They talk about how the trees are so dense, like the sunlight can't even
yeah.
really get through. So it's one of those things, too. So it's dark. That's why people also get turned around, because not a lot of sunlight can get through. So it's just... And I figure that might be also why cell phones don't really work out there, either. Like,
yeah, I mean, all those
there's
things
a lot
together.
Of tree co-
yeah.
yeah, if there's a lot of tree cover and all that, you know, that probably doesn't help the situation, either. But anyway... So that's my story on Spooky Spooky, is this haunted forest that has a really, really dark history of death and suicide in Japan.
That was excellent, Claire. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to stay inside today and avoid all the forests.
Yes, because that's my second story on Spooky Forest.
I know. I'm like, oh, Claire's got like the Spooky Forest vibe down, man. Oof.
I do. Here's why you should not go into nature.
Be inside. Wary of nature, guys. You don't know what's there. I
Be
wonder,
a house cat.
Right? Right? That's me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, look how nice it looks outside. I'm going to stay inside and look at it.
Yeah, be a house cat.
Right, that means it must be time for this week's sweary affirmation.
Yes.
Now, this one is a little untraditional. Because it's actually a quote.
Ooh, okay.
When angry, count to four. When very angry, swear.
Yes.
Mark Twain.
Ah, yes.
And you love Mark Twain, right?
Yes.
When you come to visit me in my new place, because you will,
mm-hmm.
we're going to go see his house. He lived in Connecticut.
Yes, please.
We're gonna go to his house. We're gonna go to his house. Sorry, I'm very excited. I love Mark Twain.
Yes, I want to see this.
All right. I guess that means that it must be time for Tarot Time with April. A spooky,
Yay.
spooky. I had to get my cards out. All right, doing a quick. I think I jostled these up already, but just in case I hadn't. Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready, Claire?
Yes.
Tell me when to stop. Spooky, spooky skeleton. I don't know the rest of that song, actually. You know the spooky, spooky skeleton song?
Ish, but
I mean,
not
I've
like
seen the cartoon a lot. It's like spooky, spooky
right.
skeletons. Da da da
Speaking of
da.
the spooky, spooky skeletons, I finally went and watched the, what was it, Murder in Venice trailer.
Oh my God.
I know, I'm
It looks
excited.
so spooky. I
I
can't wait. I cannot wait.
know.
I'm here for it.
Same. Stop.
All right. We are starting this week off with the Two of Pentacles.
Okay. I think we've had that one quite often.
Then we're going to move on to the Nine of Pentacles.
Okay.
And then we're going to end our week with the Two of Cups,
Okay.
which, if I
Very low.
remember, is like the best card for like besties or relationships or whatever. It's
Okay.
my memory. We'll
It's a
find
low
out.
key
It's a low
week.
key week. I'm here for it because
Yeah.
I actually don't know what week this is for, but it's. Oh! It should be like this is what comes out right after I've quit. So I need a nice low key week.
There you go.
I need the low key, man. I need just like a couple days of rest. Is that too much to ask?
Apparently not.
All right. The Two of Pentacles. It's about juggling. Isn't that fun? Happy
Yay.
juggling, no less. Handling money, family, your home, your job. Doing all this well. It's about balancing yourself and your partner's needs. It's fun. Regardless of the surrounding chaos, our juggler is going to handle his responsibilities, time, money, and obligations with no problem. He's got this well in hand. I like the balance of these things. Some things you keep a grip on, and some things you keep an eye on. That sounds fine. I'll be ready to juggle by then, maybe, right? That sounds correct, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Do, 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 do. And then we have the Nine of Pentacles. Let's see. There is no avarice here and no insecurity. It's a woman at peace in her garden. I remember this one. It's a good
Okay,
card.
yeah, you've read that. Yep.
It's lovely. This card speaks to gratitude and confidence about treating yourself as well as you treat the people you love and is the result of hard work and perseverance. So it's telling me that I'm going to kind of juggle things really nicely, but I'm going to have some self-care because, you know, I need that.
Yeah.
So is everyone else. You're going to juggle the things that you have to well. You're going to handle that responsibility well. Because you've done that, you get to have confidence in that and take care of yourself. And then we're going to end our week with also the best card, the card of partnership.
The card of partnership.
I've got your back and you've got mine. It's a fantastic card to get for a couple because it's truly about coexisting in support. The cups are balanced. It's quite lovely, actually. This is a card I like to see for relationships because the lover is so intense. This card shows an immense amount of trust, compassion, and true partnership. Whether it's a couple or a pair of friends, they have each other's backs and they are a true team. In a relationship, it's the friend that you've always wanted, paired with the lover you didn't know you were always looking for. So, this is an excellent week, everybody. This is all good, positive things, not things that you're like, well, it's probably okay. All good,
Yeah.
positive things in our daily lives.
Yes.
Congratulations. We did it. Welcome everyone to a lovely week. You deserve it.
Finally.
All right. That means that it's time to find our topic for next week on our wheel. Update. Right? Right,
Yes.
right?
Yes.
I actually thought of another topic to add to our wheel, but I forgot to do it. So that's okay. We're gonna do...
Oh, again?
It's another
Again,
culty
again.
episode. There's so many
Again,
good cults out there.
again, again.
I
So
love a
many
good cult.
cults.
So many cults. That's fun.
And
I'm here for it.
The wheel knows that.
The wheel
The wheel
does
knows
know.
that.
The wheel knows that we love our cults and that we have such a good time doing our culty episodes. So there you have it. You will have to come back next week and join us as we do more cults. Yay.
Probably split into two parts.
Probably, because cults take a lot.
They
Because there's all
are.
this setup to explain how the hell they got there, what started, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, all the insanity that you find out about, and you're like, oh my god, here's the crazy that was happening that you didn't know about until it all imploded.
Right.
Just, it's so much, but it's so good.
Cults number four.
Oh, and I completely forgot, guys. I forgot to tell you the story that my coworker told me this week because our episode is called Spooky.
Okay,
I
yes.
even sent reminders and I still forgot. Lord help me.
Yes.
So one more quick story before we wrap everything up forever and ever. So I was talking to one of my coworkers and I don't remember how it got on to the topic of ghosty ghosts. I think I was generically blaming our library ghost on something because I do that all the time. I'm like, ghost did it.
Right.
And my coworker was like, did I ever tell you the story about, babysitting or whatever? And I'm like, no.
You're like, random.
Please do. And when she was like she is probably in her 50s, 60s, maybe. So when she was a young teenager, she started babysitting for this family that didn't live too far away from. This is like Montana, I think. Might be wrong. But it was a situation in which the kids were already in bed and asleep, but the parents were going out. So she was coming to a house. Kids were already in bed. She's just there to make sure like they don't wake up. Nothing happens.
Right.
And so she had done this a handful of times and had actually never laid eyes on the children because they were always asleep.
Oh,
Nothing ever happened. So
I
she
mean, at this
said,
point, you're like, am I really babysitting children?
Right.
Or am I just.
I'm like, are you sure? Because this, and I'm going, is this an urban legend? You're about to tell me this sounds right.
Right, right.
But so she talked about how at the house they had a really nice record collection. And so she would sit and listen to records sometimes, or she'd sit and read her book or whatever and just waiting for the parents to come home. And one night she's listening to a record and, having a good time. And she looks up and she sees the little girl is in the hallway.
That's
And
not creepy at all.
No, like just like has like poked her head out and like looking at like,
Like what's going on? Yeah.
And she, turns off the record and she's like, oh, I'm so I, I'm I guess right now. I'm blah blah blah. She's like, I'm your babysitter. We need to. It's like, and she's like the little girl. She's got on her forever ago. She has on like her nightdress. She has like her hair is kind of like mine. It's got that little bit of curl in it, but it's like pretty long and dark. And the little girl doesn't really say anything back to her, but she was nodding along to the conversation. And he's like, well, how about we get you back to bed? And she's like this. She's like, okay. She doesn't really say anything, but let's my coworker lead her back to her room and gets her tucked into bed, blah, blah, blah. And, Rita goes back out to the living room, ends up sitting and reading for a while. On this particular night, there were only two kids in the house. One of the kids was staying with grandparents for whatever reason. So, that's right. I was trying to think if there's a bunk bed in the story, but I don't think there was. I think it was just a normal bed. But anyway, so Chuck Shrek and whatever. Ends up going back reading for a while. The parents come home. The mother drives my coworker back to her house. And just chatting, you know, oh, how'd everything go? And because as I always do, and she's like, oh, no, everything was fine. Mentioned that the little girl had gotten up to, you know, like maybe the record had woken her or whatever. And Rudy's like, I put her right back to bed. It was absolutely fine. And the mom was like, you must be mistaken. She's the one staying with the grandparents tonight. And Rita was
what?
And it was like, and so she's like, well, whatever. Maybe she's like, I don't know. Whatever. She was like, it creeped her out, but she didn't pay much attention to it. She continued to babysit for them. And again, kids are always in bed before she gets there. One time, though, they ask her to come a lot earlier before the kids are in bed. So it's the first time she actually meets all three kids. And they are all blondes. There's not a brunette in the whole family. She did not
what?
See. None of the children was the girl that she saw and that she tucked back into bed.
Stop it.
She said there's just...
What? Oh, no.
She said there's something about the house. Because she had another weird thing that happened that she was sitting, like, reading her book, and there's, like, a little green... She was talking about the... It had, like, a weird glass globe light fixture or whatever, or maybe it was a lamp or something, and there's, like, a weird green light on her book as she was reading, and she was just assuming, like, there's a crack or something in the glass, and the light was coming through.
Right.
Didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it at first, except... It looked to her almost like it was moving, like following along as she was reading. But she thought, oh, maybe it's just the way I'm holding my book. Maybe I'm tilting it and not paying attention. And so she puts her hand between the light and the book, and the light is still on her page. Like, there's no way for it to get there. She couldn't make the light disappear. It was still there. And it would follow along as she's reading. She said, I closed the book and set it down and went, I'm not reading anymore. Like, holy hell.
Oh, no. No, no, no. No, no.
So I was like, oh, okay. That's terrifying.
Yes.
She's like, I have absolutely no idea who that kid was that I saw that I tucked into bed that apparently wasn't alive.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that is like all the children were blonde. What?
I was like,
I would have been like, oh, gosh. Nope, nope, nope.
Mm-mm. No. That might actually have been spookier than any of our stories, mind you, but...
I mean...
Like, she's telling legit. Me, and I'm going... Like, I'm covered.
I know, I'm like, I'm getting goosebumps just listening to this. Stop it.
So spooky. Yeah. But there it is. That's my last bit on spooky spooky for you. This
Those children are terrifying.
Right? It's... I hate them. I don't love children that aren't ghosts, so I guess it's no surprise that ghost children are extra terrifying. But like, ugh.
Right?
Imagine you. I'm like, she's like, I tucked her into bed, like I touched her, like I. She was real and tangible, and then she wasn't really there. Okay.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. That's nuts.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, I guess, hey, everyone, you can join us next time as we talk cults and bring you a different kind of fear.
Right.
But until then, you can find us in all the things and at all the places at
Brunch and Judge.
Please follow, like, subscribe, comment, yada, yada, yada. And you can send us some story ideas that you have or any additional topics for our wheel to us at
brunchandjudge@gmail.com.
So until next time, keep on brunching.
And keep on judging.
Bye.
Bye.
Also, don't go into forests and don't buy secondhand furniture.
Absolutely.